Readings this morning are from the New Testament. The first is from the book of John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. And you can find that on page 114. Nope, 115, sorry. When it was evening on that day, this is shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15, and you can find that on page 181. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you are a God who speaks, that you are a God who acts, that you are a God who has come down and you continue to come to us, often clothed in disguise, in the disguise of a brother or sister in Christ. We ask that you would speak your word of life, that we may live and know the freedom and joy of living in our God-ordained purpose as children of God in the image of God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And those are stunning words if you really pause to think about what he is saying in those words. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now, opportunities to share God's love often come suddenly. They come out of the blue. They come without warning. And most often, they are opportunities that come that are just simple ways that you can just bring the love of Christ into a situation. Sometimes they come in much more demanding disguise or much more involved ways. And an example of that would be a story that happened to our family. I shared very briefly about it back, I think, in December of 2014, because it was in December of 2014 that Mary and I, to celebrate our 30th anniversary, decided that we'd take a trip to Hawaii. And so Hannah and Leah were down at Seattle Pacific University, and we said, we're going to bring them with us. And so we flew them to Hawaii. We flew to Oahu. We all met up together, and it was just beautiful. You know, I mean, who doesn't like Hawaii? It was so pretty, especially December in Fairbanks, going there. And so there we were in this beautiful place, living in a little apartment just off of a house, just a couple block or just about a block from the salt water. And that first Sunday was soon after we arrived. Sunday morning came along, and we decided, well, let's go to church and worship somewhere. So we started Googling churches and picked one. And we went to this church, and it was a small church plant. And the pastor there happened to be speaking on a text where the word suddenly is used. How an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. But he was using the text to speak about how suddenly things happen in our lives. And how suddenly opportunities to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ will appear to us. And our eyes need to be open and our ears tuned in to where God is moving and bringing about divine opportunities for us to bear witness to the gospel. I thought, yeah, that's great. Great word. You know, we need to be aware because suddenly things happen, right? You have opportunities that have happened in your life. So we went home from, or went back to our apartment after church that morning. It was an 85 degree day. We said, let's get our shorts on, head down to the beach and go swimming. And so we pulled into the driveway, and I looked up, and there was a guy coming out of the gate that led into the entryway to the house off of where we were staying. And he was wearing a garbage bag over himself, and he had latex gloves on. I thought, that is so weird. Why would somebody be wearing a garbage bag and latex gloves in 85 degree heat, let alone any time, right? But if it was raining, it'd be one thing. And I thought, hey, he kind of looks like a homeless person, like, you know, some of the people I've seen around Fairbanks. And I was going to go over and talk with him, and we made eye contact, and then he just turned and he went across the street. Okay, so we went into our place, and about 10 minutes later, we heard a woman screaming, "Help! Help! He's trying to kill me! He's trying to kill me! Help me!" And I was like, well, you hear words like that, and that gets your attention. A woman screaming for help. And so I ran to the sliding glass door that was wide open, and here comes this woman right there, this young Japanese woman, and she was bleeding, covered in blood. And she stood there on the step, and she says, she was frantic. She says, "This guy, he's trying to kill me." And I looked down, and she's standing in a puddle of blood. And I thought, oh my goodness, this woman is going to die unless we get help for her. And so I said, "Here, come over here and lay down on the grass." And Hannah called 911. She's talking to the 911 operator, and I'm talking to this woman. She says, "Save me. Jesus, save me. Help." And I said, "Jesus is here." I said, "I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor, and I want you to know that Jesus is here." And I just started to pray, and Mary is praying, and you know, we're praying out loud, "Lord Jesus, come and help this woman." And I said, "What is your name?" She said, "My name is Sarah." "How old are you?" She's 23 years old. And she says, I was in my mom and dad's house across the street, and this guy just comes in. I didn't know him at all. We didn't know him at all. And my mom has Alzheimer's disease, and my dad was out shopping, and I was just there with my mom, and he comes in with a knife, and he starts stabbing me. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. And so I started fighting this guy off. And so she had defensive wounds, cuts all over her hands, and she said, "I got away." And she's like freaked, and we're thinking, this guy could just come right into the backyard where we are, you know, following her trail. And so it was a little frightening, right? Pretty soon I hear the ambulance siren coming. And they get there. The paramedics come rushing in, and they start working on her. So I got to back off, and I go out to the street. Police cars, and they're putting up crime scene ribbon. And the neighbor right next door, this young gal in her 20s, says, "Oh, good thing you were there, and good thing you were willing to help, because not anybody else in the neighborhood was willing to help. I saw doors shutting. When she started screaming, I looked out, and people were shutting their doors, and if she had come to my door, I wouldn't have been involved." She said, Because she said, did you notice that everyone was shutting their doors when they heard the screaming? Nobody came out because nobody wants to be involved or put their lives in danger. If that woman had come to my door, I would have shut the door on her face. And I was like, really? Whoa. Well, in fact, we did save her life. Praise God. And she was released from the hospital that night. She had lost a lot of blood, but she got the medical attention that she needed. And praise God, she's alive. And she was a very young, new believer in Christ. And this thing happened. The thing that struck me was what she said. She said, nobody came out because nobody wants to be involved or put their lives in danger or put their lives at risk. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, that can be the words that are on our lips sometimes as Christians. But they should never be on our lips. That attitude should never be our attitude. Why? Because as the Apostle Paul says in this great passage out of 2 Corinthians, he says, for the love of Christ urges us on, compels us. Because we are convinced that one has died for all. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. Think about that. For the love of Christ urges us on, compels us on. And I want to ask the question this morning, what does that look like? What does it look like in your life? You who know Christ, for the love of Christ to urge you on, for the love of Christ to compel you, knowing that Christ has died for all. And he says, so he died for all so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but rather would live for him who died and was raised for them. And Paul is saying, listen, we need to be in touch with the love of God for us. Because when we're in touch with the love of God for us, we can become the very presence of Christ to those who are in need. And that is the purpose for which we are here. God's love in us wants to come out to the world. The love of God needs to be expressed. The love of Christ, when it is allowed to work in us, compels us. It has to compel us. It has to make us stop and get off of our own agenda and pause for the one who is right before us, who is lonely, who is broken, who doesn't know who Jesus is or what Christ has done. The love of Christ will make us stop if we're in touch with the love of God for us. If we're in touch with God's love for the world, it will make us pay attention and stop. God's love must motivate us to no longer just live for ourselves, to live for our preferences, to live for our passions, to live for our hungers, for our desires, for our appetites, for ourselves. The love of Christ doesn't do that. It motivates us. It compels us. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to enjoy life. He does want you to enjoy life. But as you enjoy life, live your life with your eyes wide open, your ears wide open to how he is speaking and who he is bringing right before you, day after day, moment by moment. We'll miss it if we're not looking and if we're not living in the love of God. So the love of God compels us to act in compassion to others, to live for the praise of God the Father. Love motivates us to bring blessing to the world. And in fact, our chief purpose is, in fact, to bless the world, that through us, all nations of the earth will be blessed. But that won't happen unless we are allowing the love of God to move in us. A few days later, we saw Sarah again. We had to relocate out of the little apartment that we were staying in and move to another place because that crime scene, they needed to clean it all up. And then we moved back that next Wednesday. And that Wednesday, as we got there, here comes Sarah being driven down the street by a friend to go see her parents come back to that place that she hadn't been back to since the Sunday event. And so we went out and we said, oh, you know, we got to talk with her. Her dad came out. And her dad said, I want to thank you so much for saving my daughter's life, for saving her life. And we were like, wow. You know, it was like a divine moment that we were placed there. I said to Sarah, she told me that she came from a Buddhist home and that a friend had introduced her to Jesus. And she was just a very new Christian. And I said, well, Sarah, when something like this happens in a person's life, the trauma needs to be, you need to bring that before God. We need to pray into the trauma. And we would be totally eager to pray with you in a couple of days. If you'd like to meet with us on Saturday, you know, would you be free to just come and we'll just pray over this situation, just bring it before God and bring the healing grace of God into the situation. She said, I'd love to do that. And so the next Saturday, she showed up with a gift and came into our little apartment, and we got to spend a couple hours with her, just hearing her story and praying with her for her healing. Opportunities to share God's love often come suddenly. Now, we never know what might happen in a day. God forbid that we're in a situation like that again, or that you find yourself in a situation where, you know, there's such a trauma. But if you do, know this, that God has you there for a reason. And that God will use you if you make yourself available to say, here I am, Lord. I want to surrender, and I want to be used by you. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. In our gospel story from John, the risen Jesus shows up suddenly in a locked room where disciples are hiding in fear. He comes and he says, peace be with you. Look at my hands. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes on them and says words that we need to think about. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. How important. The Father sent the Son into the world to seek and to save the lost and the broken. And he sends us. Jesus was a man who lived with eyes wide open to human need. He lived with a ready willingness to step into human need, to bring the love of the Father into the situation. And he lived for the applause of the Father, didn't he? Jesus did everything to bring glory to God. And now Jesus is saying to the disciples, and he's saying to us, just as my Heavenly Father sent me into this world, so now I am sending you into the world. And he doesn't just send us into the world and say, go in your own power, because if we were to do that, we wouldn't have what was necessary for the world. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. Do you know what God's plan is for your life? His plan is that you would bring glory to the Father, that you would live for the praise of the Father, that you would live in such a deep love for God, in such a deep love for other people, that you would be a very manifestation of the presence of God everywhere you go. It's a powerful thing that the Father sends the Son to be an expression of his life and his love and his hope for the world, and then the Son sends us to be an expression of his love and his life and his hope for the world. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And John tells us that God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son into the world, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And he's telling this a mind-blowing truth, that as I was sent by the Father, I was God, I am God, and I became incarnate. I took on human flesh. So now, you who are human, I'm sending you into the world to, in many ways, embody God, to be a manifestation of God's very presence, that his life would overflow in your life to a world that is broken. That his love, that his hope, that his joy would overflow in the way that you live for the sake of the world. That's a mind-blowing truth. And if you struggle with self-esteem, that ought to be a cure for poor self-esteem. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You say, who, me? How can I go into the world? I'm giving you all that you need. You are to be my representative. You are to be a manifestation of my very presence wherever you go. Sometimes the need we encounter most often are pretty obvious. They're not like the violent attack that Mary and the girls and I were involved in Hawaii. Praise God for that. They're much more basic. It's coming upon somebody who's lonely. Somebody who doesn't have a place of community, and they need community, and you can invite them into the community of the body of Christ. You can just befriend them. Needs are things like people who don't know what on earth they're here for. But you know what on earth you're here for. And in fact, if you know how God and why God made us, then you know what they're here for too. They're to live for the praise of the Father. They're to live in a relationship with the one who made them. That the image of God is to be restored in them. What a privilege it is to represent God to the world. And we can't do it in our own strength. And so I give thanks to God that he says, I don't send you in your own strength. You go in my spirit. In the strength of my spirit. He breathes on us and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that means what? We have to be in a receiving posture, don't we? We have to be in a place where we say, okay, it'd be really tempting just to go in my own strength and my own knowledge and my own stuff. But I'm not going to go in that. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, I receive you. Wherever there are blocks to your presence, I want to say no to those blocks. I want to confess those. I want to give those up. And I want to fully open my life to your infilling, to your influence. I want to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, right? I want to be intoxicated by you. That's a good intoxication, by the way, to have, that we can be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you know, could do nothing unless the Holy Spirit was upon him. He begins his ministry as a man, fully human, fully God, but fully human in the sense that he couldn't just go do miracles in his own strength. He knew that, but when he received the Spirit of God upon him, suddenly he was able to do these things. And he gives us a model and says, do as I do. Imitate me, follow me in your life. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. The Spirit of God is on me for that, and he's on you for the same thing. There's a story about a woman who one day, she was a wife and a mother, and one day she just up and packed a suitcase and walked out the door and disappeared. Her husband and the kids didn't know where she went. But every night she would call. She would talk to her husband. She would say, how are the kids? And he would tell her, give her a report. And then he'd say, when he would ask, where are you? She'd hang up. And this went on day after day, week after week, month after month. She would call to check in. How are things going? How are you doing? How are the kids? Honey, where are you? Click. She'd hang up. So finally, the husband hired a private investigator, and the private investigator found that she had moved all the way across to the other side of the United States. She was living in a little upstairs part of an apartment, and so he bought a plane ticket, didn't tell her he was coming, and he flew to that place, and he climbed the stairs to that little apartment, and he knocked on the door, and she opened the door. And he forgot the whole speech that he was going to give. He just said, we love you so much. We love you. Would you please come home? Well, this woman just collapsed into her husband's arms. So overwhelmed. And she did. She agreed to come home. And I don't know, there must have been some communication problems in the relationship, because it was months later before he had the courage to ask her the question, why didn't you come home? Why did you leave? What was behind all this? But he asked her the question, and she said this, before, when you said, I love you, it was always just words to me. But when you came, I knew you really did love me. And isn't that why God came into this world? To show us the love of the Father? He came in the person of the Son to show us the love of the Father. And when we go from this place, we go into this community with the love of the Father and the love of the Son. People can hear you say, I love you, and it just falls on deaf ears. But when they see in your life, when you come to them and you love them where they're at, then they know that you really do love them. And they know that there's a Father in heaven who loves them. So, Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us. Because we are convinced that one has died for all, and he died for all so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. What a privilege we have to be compelled by the love of God in a community that most people don't know Christ. What a privilege we have in a culture and society where there is so much anger and confusion about the state of things, that people are, they're at an end. I think they are like so many of those Muslims that Dave was talking about. They may be saying, we're done with Islam. And many people may be saying, you know, I'm done with this government. Or I'm done with this life. And there's a great opportunity, I think, right now in our culture to bring Christ to people. You know, I mean, the EU, or the Britain leaves the EU because they're done with the EU. There's just a lot of dissatisfaction. There's a hunger that is growing. And so we need to live as people with our eyes open, our ears open to the cry of broken and lost people, and be ready to respond with the love of Christ. Would you do that? Would you go from this place as God's sent ones, having received the Holy Spirit, compelled by the love of God? That's what the world needs. It's the will of God for your life and for my life. And so let's be about that work. Not under compulsion to satisfy anybody else other than the heart of the Father, compelled by the love of God. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you came into this world for us. But we confess that we really get caught up in our own agenda, our own passions, our own interests, our own selves. We ask that you would forgive us and that you would help us to turn, to repent, and to be conformed to the form of your Son, Jesus, to be motivated by your love for us and for the world, so that the world may know that there is a God that loves them, that they would see in us a people who show their love and not just speak their love. We commit this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.